Joshua 1:9. This is my command, be strong and courageous. Do not be fearful or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Joshua 1:9. Psalm 119, verse 11. Thy word I have treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against thee. Psalm 119:11. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to Revelation chapter 6 and Daniel chapter 9. Revelation chapter 6 and Daniel chapter 9. Revelation chapter 6, Daniel chapter 9. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin our study for today. Father, we rejoice today that we are your children, saved by your matchless grace. We have the assurance that one day when this heart beats for the last time and we breathe our last breath, as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to be absent from the body and at home with our Savior. And so we rejoice today in the fact that we have that assurance, not based upon our good works, not based upon anything that we've done, but totally based upon the fact that we're the recipients of that great gift of God through Jesus Christ, the gift of salvation. The one who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. We realize that the Scripture says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. We're thankful for all of the wonderful verses of Scripture that point us to the fact that salvation is by faith alone, in Christ alone. And now we come again to this magnificent book to open our hearts and minds to the things that mean so much to all of us, realizing that you have a plan for our lives. You want us to grow and advance. You want us to see things from a divine viewpoint, not from a horizontal human viewpoint. So we have the responsibility of seeing things as our Heavenly Father sees, a vertical viewpoint. We pray that we'll be faithful in receiving the dissemination of your word, and that we'll understand that the only way to know and love the Lord Jesus Christ is to be consistent in the intake of spiritual fuel, which leads us to occupation with the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. I trust that you're ready this morning for a study that will be consistent with our focus upon the Word of God. On the screen, you see Revelation chapter 6 and Daniel chapter 9, 24 and following. We spend a few moments in review. We study God's Word because we realize that it is the only way to know and love the Lord Jesus Christ. We gave you this information last Wednesday night. I feel it's important for me to repeat today. The Word of God is absolutely essential for all of us, and the only way to know and love the Lord Jesus Christ is to be a consistent intaker of the Word of God, which leads to occupation with the Lord Jesus Christ. Number three, word received while filled with the Holy Spirit leads to occupation with the Lord Jesus Christ. Number four, the Word of God is the source of vertical viewpoint. And number five, God's Word produces stability of soul. I'll give you a few moments to take those points down if you do not have them. But just to remind you again of the importance of studying God's Word. It's the only way to know and to love the Lord Jesus Christ. We have this magnificent book, the completed canon of Scripture. We realize that John was used by the Spirit of God to write the Gospel of John, 1st and 2nd, 3rd John, and the book of Revelation. We find ourselves now in the 6th chapter of the book of Revelation. We find some very interesting things here. We realize that from chapter 6 through chapter 19, we have an emphasis upon Daniel's 70th week we'll be giving attention to that. Consistent intake of the Word of God leads, number two here, to occupation with Christ. Number three, when the Word is received while filled with the Holy Spirit, it leads us to know and love the Lord Jesus Christ supremely. The Word of God is a source for vertical viewpoint. We are responsible for seeing things as God sees them, and that's what we call divine viewpoint or vertical viewpoint. And then number five, God's Word produces stability of soul. All of you have seen this many times, but I want you to see it one more time. That is, we have the age of the Gentiles, the age of Israel. We have an inserted time breaking the line of Israel, which is the insertion of the church age. And you can see that it is the age of grace. And then at the time of the resurrection of the body of Christ, there will begin the time of the tribulation. I want you to see that on the screen in this particular diagram, you will see the rapture or the resurrection of the body of Christ. And then you'll see this period of time known as the tribulation. We're right here in this study now, and so you're able to see this in a unique fashion. After the tribulation, there's a second advent. There's an emphasis then upon the thousand-year reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're analyzing today again this magnificent time between Daniel chapter 6 and Daniel chapter 19. I promise you that I'm not going to give you all of that information, but when you get through with this session this morning, you're going to think that you probably did receive all of it. Revelation outline again is number one. In the first chapter of the book of Revelation, we have an emphasis on the person of Jesus Christ, the celebrityship of our Savior Jesus Christ. In chapters 2 and 3, we have the characteristics of the church age. We've spent a number of weeks analyzing those verses in Revelation chapters 2 and 3. Number 3, the church in heaven. We find that in chapters 4 and 5, and we've already analyzed those passages of Scripture. That brings us to Roman numeral 4, which is the tribulation. And you can see again on the screen, Revelation 6 through 19. Number 5, the millennium, Revelation 20. Number 6, eternal state, Revelation 21. I'll give you these again in just a few moments, but I want you to see that we have 6 major divisions with an outline of the book of Revelation. You perhaps should have this memorized. The celebrityship of Jesus Christ, Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapters 2 and 3, the characteristics of the church age. Revelation 4 and 5, the church in heaven. Revelation 6 through 19, the tribulation. Revelation 20, the millennium. And Revelation 21, the eternal state. I'm going to remove this information now and let you see what we have as we look at the passage of Scripture which we have before us today. Now, what I want to do is to cover this up and let you see that we're going to present some information here in just a little bit, but we're going to start off realizing that beginning with chapter 6 and going through chapter 9, we have a summary of Daniel's 70th week called the tribulation, or the last 7 years of the Jewish age. If you look very carefully a few moments ago at the diagram, you were able to see the age of the Gentiles, the age of Israel. You were able to see the intercalated period, the insertion of the church age. And then you were able to see that there were 7 years after the rapture of, or the resurrection of the body of Christ, known as the tribulation. In other words, what we're seeing here is that the tribulation is the continuation and consummation of the age of Israel. Now I want you to turn in your Bibles, please, to Daniel chapter 9. I started to give you the German translation, but it's a little bit complicated, so I've decided not to do it. Anyway, we have it, and we can give it to you if you so desire. Daniel chapter 9, beginning with verse 24. And I'm going to ask you to go in your Bibles to that passage so you're going to be able to follow along as we read. Daniel chapter 9, verse 24. 70 weeks have been decreed for your people and your holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sin, to make atonement for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy place. Daniel chapter 9, verse 25. So you are to know and discern that from the issuing of a decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until Messiah, Prince, there will be 7 weeks. In 62 weeks, it will be built again with plaza and moat, even in times of distress. Verse 26, then after the 62 weeks, the Messiah will be cut off and have nothing, and the people of the prince who is to come will destroy the city and the sanctuary, and his end will come with a flood. Even to the end, there will be war, desolations are determined. Verse 27, and he will make a firm covenant with the many for 1 week, but in the middle of the week, he will put a stop to sacrifice and grain offering. And on the wing of abominations will come one who makes desolate. Even unto the complete destruction, one that is decreed is poured out on the one who makes desolate. On the screen, we're going to give you just a little tiny summary, and then we'll begin to look at the insert that you have in your bulletin today. Revelation chapter 6, this chapter is a summary of Daniel's 70th week, the tribulation of the last 7 years of the Jewish age. God gave the Jews 490 years to glorify him, and they failed. And their failure was the 70 years of the Babylonian captivity. Found in the passages of Scripture which I've just read to you, when I said study here, Daniel 9, 24 to 27, which is the history of Israel after the Babylonian captivity. The Babylonian captivity to the southern kingdom is from 586 B.C. to 516 B.C. I put in parentheses where you can see 7 weeks or 49 years. 62 weeks equals 434 years. And 1 week equals 7 years. Don't get too hung up on this because we'll be giving it a number of times. If you're not able to take these notes rapidly enough, that's okay because you have it in hand in the insert in today's bulletin. I want to say two things about the tribulation right here, and that is the dispensation. The tribulation is the dispensation of the church age. The dispensation of the church age is never mixed with the dispensation of Israel. One of the things that I need to emphasize when I get this point to you, and that is, when you look at the age of the Gentiles, there's an emphasis on the age of the Gentiles. When you look at the age of Israel, there's an emphasis on the age of Israel. When you look at the church age, you'll see that there's an emphasis upon the church age. There is not a blending or a mixing of the dispensations. What I'm trying to say here is the dispensation of the church age is never mixed with the dispensation of Israel. When you study the Synoptic Gospels, which we've studied in the last few days, the last few sessions, we understand that the Synoptic Gospels present the Lord Jesus Christ in a fantastic way, in different ways, and the emphasis there is upon age of Israel information. If you'll keep in mind that Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and all of John except chapters 14 through 18 actually is age of Israel information. Now, I know that I'm going rapidly, but I want you to be able to see that the reason why we say over and over again that you and I will not go through the tribulation. Believers of the church age will not go through the tribulation. And the reason for that, along with other reasons, is that you do not mix dispensations. And so you discover that the age of the grace or the age of the church is where we now live. And when the tribulation begins, that's a different dispensation. That's a different period of time. And there's not a mixing of the two. So that's the reason why number one here is so very important. The dispensation of the church age is never mixed with the dispensation of Israel. And number two, again saying about the same thing, the tribulation is related to the age of Israel only. Now, that brings me to the emphasis that we're going to find, and I'm giving you some time to think this through, because in a few moments, I'm going to carry you rapidly through the information that you have in hand. In Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 to 27, in our passage, Revelation chapter 6, it gives us, and I repeat what I said a few moments ago, a summary of Daniel's 70th week, the tribulation, or the last 7 years of the Jewish age. God gave the Jews 490 years to glorify Him, and they failed. And their failure was the 70 years of the Babylonian captivity, 586 to 516 B.C. A part of their failure was that they did not observe their sabbatical years. I'll slow down a bit and let you see what we're trying to present. A part of their failure was that they did not observe their sabbatical years. They accumulated 70 sabbaticals in that 490 years. Then God gave them another 490 years, but it was cut short at 483. The 7 years of the tribulation, the cross interrupted. The time was cut short then into which the church age was inserted. That's a summary that we find, which I read a few moments ago, in Daniel chapter 9, 24 to 27. Now, we're going to get into this, but we will not do it right now. I just want you to see that 70 weeks are determined, the scripture says, upon thy people, Daniel's people, the Jews, and upon the holy city, Jerusalem, sixfold purpose. You will find it very interesting if you read Ray's book, the emphasis that I have on the screen now, and we're going to analyze this as we get into the insert that you have in your bulletin today. So I'm going to cover that back up and leave it closed off for right now, and ask you, if you will, please, to take your insert that you have in the bulletin today. I don't want to insult your intelligence. I realize that you can read, but I believe it is important for us to take these points slowly, perhaps not too slowly, but at least looking at these as we analyze Daniel's 70th week. Roman numeral 1. The events recorded in Revelation 6:1 through Revelation 19:21 are connected with the last 70th week of Daniel's 70 weeks. Roman numeral 2. The prophet Daniel had been 68 years in Babylon, B.C. 538, and by studying of the prophecy of Jeremiah, Jeremiah 25:11, he discovered that the 70 years captivity of his people was nearing its end. So he set his face unto the Lord, Daniel 9:3, to know the exact time of its ending. Roman numeral 3, while he was praying, we're not going to go back and read this, the angel Gabriel appeared to enlighten him. This is found in Daniel 9:20-23. Roman numeral 4, Daniel was very concerned about the expiration of the 70 years of captivity and the restoration of his people to Palestine and the rebuilding of the city of Jerusalem. Roman numeral 5, without doubt, the angel Gabriel informed Daniel that God would fulfill his promise as to the 70 years of captivity. But, capital letters you see, he also made known to him that would not end the troubles of Israel. Number 6, Daniel was informed that while the Jews were to return to Jerusalem at the end of the 70 years of captivity, there was a greater period of time to elapse before the kingdom would be restored to them, which was a period of 70 weeks. Remember now that 70 weeks means 70 times 7, or 490 years. 1 week means 7 years. Roman numeral 7. The history of Israel then is divided into three sections in Daniel 9:24 and following. Follow along, please. The first period from Artaxerxes, king of Persia, that is from the time he issued the decree to restore and rebuild the city of Jerusalem, is emphasized in Nehemiah chapter 2, until the walls were actually completed. That's period number 1. The second period is called 62 weeks, or a period of 434 years. This goes from the time of the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem down to the time of the cross, where Jesus Christ was rejected. This is a continuous period made up of 483 years. Number 3, subpoint, now in Daniel chapter 9, 24 to 27, it tells us that God actually promised 490 years. 70 weeks times 7 equals, that should be equals, 490 years. Why only 483 years? Number 5, well, it was 483 years from the end of the Babylonian captivity unto the point of the time of the cross. So there are 7 years short. These 7 years are mentioned in Daniel 9:27, which I read this morning, called Daniel's 70th week. Note, there's a break then between 483 years, the time of the cross, and the break is for the church age. Then when the church is removed, we have the third section. The third period of 7 years is the tribulation. 1 week. That's Daniel's 70th week. The tribulation, the last 7 years of the Jewish age. Now, just in case you have any problems with the math here, let's look at it again. 7 weeks, 49 years, time required to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. 62 weeks, 434 years, time from the rebuilding to the cross. You add those together, you have 483 years. That means that they're 7 years short. The 7 years would be the last week, which is the tribulation. Adding all that up, it adds up to 490 years. Okay, that brings me to Roman numeral 8. Let's analyze then, again, Daniel 9, 24 and following. If you'll notice, it says, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. Now, what I want to do is to uncover this so that you can begin to see what information we have here. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people, Daniel's people, the Jews, and upon the holy city, Jerusalem, sixfold purpose. On the screen now you see 70 weeks are determined upon thy people, Daniel's people, the Jews, and upon the holy city, Jerusalem, sixfold purpose. Now I've listed these sixfolds of purposes here, but we'll take them one at a time, and you'll see that the information that's in your insert today presents this information one at a time. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore, to rebuild Jerusalem from the Messiah, the prince shall be 7 weeks and the 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall even in troublous times. Verse 25. Now, see, after 62 weeks, 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. The people Roman of the prince, there shall come Antichrist, shall destroy the city, the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. That's in verse 26. And the Antichrist shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, the last week of the 70 weeks. In the midst of the week, he, the Antichrist, shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations, then you'll see in parentheses the abomination of desolation spoken of by Christ in Matthew 24:15. He shall make it desolate even unto the consummation, and that determination shall be poured upon the desolate, recorded in Daniel 9:24-27. Now, please notice that what I'm doing is pointing out some important facts. Number 9. The vision of the 70 weeks is extremely important, since we're told that this period of time was determined upon Daniel's people, the Jews, upon the holy city, Jerusalem. This says two things. Number 1, that the 70 weeks have nothing to do with the Gentiles or the church, but only with the Jews in Jerusalem. The second thing, that the 70 weeks only cover the period when the Jews are dwelling in their own land. Therefore, it does not cover the period of their dispersion. Number 10, here we go now with what you see on the screen. Daniel 9:24 reveals that the 70 weeks were determined for a sixfold purpose. Perhaps I need to go a little slower now, but I want you to see that I want to deal with the six seals in the second session, so I better keep going. Number 1, or A, to finish the transgression. You'll see that on the screen. What we need to do is to go over and read the Roman chapter 11, verses 26 and 27. We cannot do that now for time's sake. The transgression of Israel has not yet come to an end and will not until they as a nation shall be converted. Now, let's keep on going. The period of tribulation will be a time of great evangelism. On this coming Wednesday night, we're going to be dealing with the evangelism of the age called the tribulation time. The period of the tribulation will be a time of great evangelism among the Jews. Throughout the tribulation, the gospel will be proclaimed so that the unbelievers will be without an excuse. Number 5 is an important one. Actually, the world will be evangelized 4 times during that brief 7 years. Let's look at those very briefly. Revelation chapter 7 describes 144,000 Jewish evangelists saved and then preaching. Revelation 14, 12 and 13 reveals that the tribulational saints will be evangelizing. Revelation chapter 11 verse 3 speaks of the worldwide satellite ministry of Moses and Elijah. I could stop there for a few moments and say that years and years ago, people wondered how in the world this could be taking place, where people around the world would be able to know. Well, there's no problem about that now. So you see in Revelation 11:3, speaks of worldwide satellite ministry of Moses and Elijah. We'll find that very interesting when we get to it, but we're not there now. The fourth way that there is an evangelism during the time of the tribulation is Revelation 14, 6 and 7. It depicts the ministry of angels in the field of evangelism. Now, you may think that we've gone rapidly on that, but we have, and that is, number 1, to finish transgression. Secondly, you'll see that it says to make an end of sin, to seal up sins. Let's look at this briefly, the sins of Israel. There will be an end to Israel's rejection at the end of the tribulation. Satan also will be sealed up in the pit, as recorded in Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 through 3. If you do not have a headache yet, I want to encourage you to stay with me, because you will by the time we get through the next 10 minutes. Number C, or the third, to make reconciliation for iniquity. This refers to Israel's iniquity of the rejection of their Messiah. Atonement was made for their sin on the cross, as atonement was made for everyone. According to Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10, it reveals that Israel as a nation awaits the day when they shall look on him whom they pierced, and a fountain shall be opened to the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and uncleanliness. Zechariah 13, 1. And a nation, the Jewish nation, shall be born again in a day, according to Isaiah 66, verse 8. Number 4, to bring in everlasting righteousness. You'll see this on the screen. Number 1, when the transgression of Israel has come to an end, their sins are sealed up, then everlasting righteousness shall be brought in. The king will come, and the kingdom will be restored to Israel, and the millennium will be here, and the knowledge of the Lord shall cover the earth as waters cover the sea. Hebrews 2:14. If you'll notice now, number 5, to seal up the vision and prophecy. When the transgression of Israel has ceased, and they have uninterrupted communication with God, there will no longer be any need for vision and prophecy or prophets. We could go into a discussion there, but let's just stay with the content we have here. We need to remember that vision and prophecy has been confirmed to the Jewish race. That takes us then to the next one, to anoint the holy, most holy. And that's number 6. This refers to the anointing of the most holy place, or the holy of holies, of the millennial temple described in Ezekiel chapter 41. There's a great significance in this announcement, for although the tabernacle of Moses was anointed, Leviticus 8:10, there's no mention of such a ceremony in the consecration of either Solomon's temple or the temple of Zerubbabel, for those buildings were considered merely as continuations of the Mosaic tabernacle. But when the king comes back and sits upon the throne of his father David, there's to be a magnificent temple erected, the likes of which have never as yet been seen on this planet of ours. There will be no Ark of the Covenant with its mercy seat in the most holy place of the millennial temple, according to Jeremiah 3:16. But in its place will stand the royal throne on which the branch, the Messiah, shall sit as the king priest, according to Zechariah 6:12 through 13. And to those, anointing is here referred. Now that takes us through these sixfold situations very rapidly to Roman numeral 11. It says, when you see this sixfold purpose of the 70 weeks and compare that to the close of the dispensation of Israel and the tribulation as described in Revelation chapter 1 through Revelation 19, 21, it confirms that this 70th week is Jewish, has nothing to do with the church. Roman numeral 12. Let's review. The weeks of Daniel are divided into three periods. 1, 7 weeks, 62 weeks, and 1 week. The first period of 7 weeks referred to the time required to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, which was 49 years. This giving us the key to the meaning of the word week. For if 7 weeks are equal to 49 years, then 1 week is equal to 7 years, according to Nehemiah 2, 1, which reveals the fact that the month was March, that the decree was given to restore and to rebuild Jerusalem. This was March 14, theologians say, 445 B.C. The second period of 62 weeks, or a period of 434 years, goes from the time of the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem down to the time of the cross, when Jesus Christ was rejected. I don't know whether this is necessary, because I feel like all of you fully understand by now, but I say review. 62 weeks plus 7 weeks equals 69 weeks, 483 years, which leaves 1 week 7 years short. Daniel 9, 24 to 27 tells us that God actually promised 490 years. 70 weeks times 7 equals 490 years. These 7 years are mentioned in Daniel 9, 27, called Daniel's 70th week. Jesus rode in triumph into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, April 12, 30 A.D. Now, something that you might need to think about, the difference between 445 B.C. and 30 A.D. are Julian, or astronomical years, of 365 and a half days each. But when we reduce them to calendar years of 360 days each, the years used in the scriptures, we find that we have exactly 483 years of 360 days each. May we bow for a moment of prayer. Thank you, Father, for the time we've had together and the ability to see some things, even though there's so much more to be seen. Help us to understand that we have opportunity to grow and advance in your master's grace. As we study from day to day, help us to do that enthusiastically and with determination to allow the Spirit of God and the Word of God to really take effect into our individual lives. There are those who hear the message today who have never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. Help them to understand that God has a magnificent plan, and that plan includes each individual accepting Jesus Christ as Savior, and yet He does not force or coerce anyone. This is a decision that each person must make. It's dependent upon our own individual choice and volition. We pray that there will be those who will accept you today as their personal Savior, because the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by me. That tells us that there's only one way of salvation, and that's the person of Jesus Christ. We pray that there will be those who will trust you even now. And we thank you for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.